Collecting American political items perhaps began in 1789 with the unanimous election of our nation's founding father, George Washington. A small metal button stamped with the initials GW and the words "Long Live the President" was a tangible show of support of Washington during his presidency, and a highly prized collectible political item ever since. While the traditional campaign button is less popular in our modern digital age, it once was a primary means of demonstrating one's support for a political candidate or cause. Theodore Roosevelt began campaigning for elective office at the age of 23, winning the first of three terms to the New York Assembly in 1881. In his political life, he campaigned for mayor of New York City, governor of New York, the vice presidency, and the presidency in 1904 and 1912. As one of America's most popular politicians, T.R.'s numerous campaigns generated an astonishing number and variety of political items that continue to inspire collectors of American political memorabilia. Today, we're joined by a very special guest, Tom Peeling, one of the nation's leading collectors of Theodore Roosevelt items. Hello and welcome to the Talk About Teddy podcast, weekly conversations exploring the world of Theodore Roosevelt. I'm your host, Kurt Skinner, and I'm joined as ever by my good friend and co-host, Larry Marple. Hey, Larry, could you tell our listeners about today's guest?
Hello, Kurt. Those in the world of collecting Theodore Roosevelt memorabilia probably know the name Tom Peeling. He's a graduate of Penn State University with a double major in journalism and history. He began work as a reporter at the Pocono Record in Pennsylvania in late 1978, and within 2 years he was promoted to the Sunday editor. He started work at the Palm Beach Post in Florida in 1985 as a copy editor on the news desk and retired in 2018 from the Post as news editor. Tom began collecting political items in 1972, specializing in Theodore Roosevelt as early as 1989. His collection of Theodore Roosevelt memorabilia is considered one of the best in the country. It includes nearly 1,000 campaign buttons, ribbons, and other lapel devices, as well as hundreds of other items. He serves as president of the Theodore Roosevelt chapter of the American Political Items Collectors, the APIC. He's currently the editor of the quarterly magazine called The Keynoter for the APIC. He lives in North Carolina, where he, along with his wife, Becky, are the owners and operators of Walnut Ridge Farms.
Tom Peeling, hello and welcome to the Talk About Teddy podcast.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, Tom, to get us started, I guess the first natural question here would be, how'd you come to be interested in the first place in collecting political memorabilia and maybe TR memorabilia in particular?
Well, I started collecting political campaign buttons in 1972. I had a friend who was a year older than I was, so he was driving at age 16 and I was 15, and we went to campaign headquarters for Nixon, where we were living in West Palm Beach, Florida, and they said, yeah, we've got a bunch of buttons here, we'll give you some buttons, but you got to work for them, you got to make a few phone calls to people, you know, to get out the vote for Nixon. So we sat down at the phones for, I don't know what it was, half hour, hour, and earned ourselves a few buttons, and then we went over to the McGovern headquarters on the same day, and son of a gun, but they needed workers too, and that was their charge for the buttons. And we always like to say that we may have been the only two people in America who campaigned for Nixon and McGovern on the same day by telephone.
So I was wondering if a Watergate story was coming in there somehow.
No. We never made it to Washington. But we didn't make the big show, as they say. Yeah. But we went on to, we both were interested in collecting. But I then about 3 years after that, went to Pennsylvania to visit my grandmother, and I got into their attic. And if you know anything about those northeastern attics, you know, when you didn't know what to do with something, it didn't go to the garbage, it went in the attic. And my grandfather collected everything. And unfortunately, he passed away about 5 years before I was born because we were kindred spirits. He would have, you know, he was Depression era, so he would have had balls of string, you know, where he would just roll them up and constantly make them bigger. And then when he'd find a different piece of string, he'd just attach it and keep rolling it. So you'd have all these mishmash of different strings attached. And I mean, it just went on and on. There was just all kinds of stuff like that. Balls of tin foil. He'd pull the tin off of, it was real tin back in those days on gum wrappers, and he'd have these big balls of tin because, you know, someday you might need to cash that in to buy food or whatever. So, but anyways, he had a knife collection, a gun collection, all kinds of things, Indian arrowheads, Indian pottery. Wow. And I remember, I mean, history intrigued me at that age anyway, and I remember going up there early one morning. The rest of the family was still sleeping, but the, you know what those attics are like. They're dark, they're dingy, they have like a little window in each end, and the light was coming in, and you could see the you know, I'm trying to draw a picture here, but you could see the dust in the air, you know. Yeah. And I remember looking at all this stuff, and he had all these books and things, and I opened up this old wooden cigar box, and inside it was about probably 20 maybe 25 turn-of-the-century campaign buttons. And there was one right on top, an inch and a quarter pin, just a sepia color pin of Teddy Roosevelt with a metal frame around it. And then hanging from it was just a little red, white, and blue ribbons. They didn't say anything on them, and it was just his name underneath the button. And so it's like, oh, I really got interested in him. And then after a few years later, after I got married, and my wife saw all the campaign buttons that were starting to pile up, she said, you know, you really ought to try to specialize in something. And at that point, I had read Nathan Miller's book on Roosevelt, yeah, his one-volume biography. And I thought, you know, I could really get into Theodore Roosevelt. And so I decided to narrow it down to that. But then she didn't realize how many different items there were for Theodore Roosevelt out there.
She thought she was narrowing you down.
And 43 years later, we're still married.
So, Tom, besides the basic campaign button that most folks are probably familiar with, what other types of collectibles are out there for Theodore Roosevelt?
Well, you know, that I used to collect coins as a kid. I collected Indian head pennies, and I got them all. And it's like, okay, well, this is every mint mark, and every year they made them. Now what do? I'm really not interested in moving up to nickels. So I started getting into the campaign buttons, and there's just no end to it. I mean, I could tell you once a month I see something for Theodore Roosevelt from his lifetime, a collectible that I've never seen before. It's just remarkable. Besides the buttons and ribbons, there's all kinds of textiles, which would be bandanas and handkerchiefs and flags. There's china, there's tokens, metal tokens, figurines, busts, tobacco-related items, even though he wasn't a smoker, you know, crystal, postcards, posters, and every kind of paper you could ever think of, from ballots to sample ballots. You know, anything that a campaign headquarters might put out. You know, go to a campaign headquarters now and see all the stuff for Biden or Trump, and, you know, just imagine all that for Theodore Roosevelt at different campaign headquarters around the country. I mean, in one county, there might be five different, you know, TR campaign clubs. So, you know, I've got flags for him. I've got advertising posters. There's, you know, there's a great one for Cylinder Records. Hear the President's Voice, it says on it, with a big picture of TR. And opening of expositions, there's a great poster for the opening of the Jamestown Exposition. It gets as far as, this is a crazy thing I just got a couple years ago, but TR opened the Jamestown Exposition in 1903 by pushing a button. Basically, it set off a bell or opened a gate, who knows what it did, but it's brass. And it says right on the thing, opening of the Jamestown Exposition by President Theodore Roosevelt. I've got the brass plate with the button. Wow. You know, it turned up at a political collectible show. So that's the closest I get is to anything he ever owned himself. But, you know, it's just remarkable how much stuff is out there. And I'm limited on the number of buttons I could still find when I go to a show, because I have a lot of them now, but new ones turn up all the time, and then different types of things. That chalkware piece I just got this week, my sixth one, there's photo albums, like a family would put all their photos in with celluloid fronts on them, and color pictures, and I now have five different ones with Theodore Roosevelt or his family on them. I picked up two of them at a show in Canton, Ohio last October. Yep. So it's just, I could sit here and talk forever. I've got a friend who's got keeps a list of different types of items that you can have for anybody's campaign, not just Theodore Roosevelt. You know, combs and hats, and you know, each one of them is a different category. He just keeps a list, and I think he was well over 160 or 180 different items for different campaigns. So that's the beauty of political collecting, is there's no end to it, as my wife would tell you.
Well, I know. I think you had mentioned having one piece that was the backdrop for a theater. Like a canvas painted.
Oh no! It was the I have a chair. I don't remember the. This one had to go by the wayside to another collector because it was approximately 9 feet long and about 7 feet wide. It was a big canvas thing of the charge of the Rough Riders up San Juan Hill, and I'm not sure what it was used for, but it was like it was an advertisement for a play or something. Okay. And like you'd see the big old circus posters that were on canvas, that were painted on canvas. That's what this was. The other thing I was thinking of was, I've kind of, this is an odd one. The Roosevelt Theater in St. Louis was torn down years ago. And at the end of it, you picture the old wooden theater chairs that, you know, that are incredibly uncomfortable. They would just fold down, you know, and you'd sit on it. Well, at the end of each row, one chair at the end of each row would have the end on it, and it would have had a picture or an image in the cast iron of Theodore Roosevelt. He was molded right into the cast iron, and it was only the end chair in each row. So if it was 30 row theater, there were 60 of them, you know. Yeah. And I have one of those chairs because each one came apart, you know, they were all bolted together, but then the end one, it was sold at an auction in St. Louis years ago, and they shipped it all the way to me in Florida. It was wonderful. And the shipping was expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, I know in our town where I teach in Springfield, Ohio, they have Roosevelt Middle School. And when they tore down the original building, right, James Frazier's plaque, the bronze that you see, they had one of those. And one of my friends went to the auction and was able to get that. I didn't know that was coming up for sale. And asked me if I would be interested in it. So I now own the one that was at our Theodore Roosevelt Middle School.
It's funny. There's a poster of Roosevelt that turns up occasionally. I'm guessing it's probably maybe 14 by 18 or something like that, and it's just a picture of a close up of him, like from right below shoulder level. And I always thought, well, why are there so many of these out there? I keep finding them. And then I found one day a little card that's about probably 4 by 6, and it's got a picture of Theodore Roosevelt on it, and it's got one little button attached to it. Mm-hmm. And it the button is the same picture that's in that poster. And the writing on it, it says, you know, you want to win one of these posters for yourself and for your school? Sell all these buttons on this card. And so it was a school thing that kids would sell the buttons, or anybody, I guess, but it was specifically for schools and kids to go out and, you know, raise money by selling those little buttons. You talk about how many different things are out there. I've probably just named 20, and I've barely, that's a drip in the bucket.
Yeah. Well, that ties in with a question I've got. What are some of the most interesting and representative pieces from each of TR's campaigns?
Oh, gosh. If you want to go all the way back to Assembly, there's a little trade card. It's got a caricature on one side of it and an advertisement on the other. I unfortunately do not own one of those, but if one of your listeners has it, I'm in the market to buy. But that is out there. And then, you know, you move on to mayoral, and there's not much mayoral stuff. But I have, I know of four different mayoral type items advertising him for his mayoral campaign, and I have three of them. One of them is a ribbon from the Republican Club of the City of New York, and it just says and it says that at the top, and then at the bottom it says Roosevelt and Reform. And the reason you know it's mayoral is because that was his only reform campaign. In fact, if you go back and read through the old New York Times, you'll see he talks about reform constantly. And also, the other telltale sign is Republican Club of New York has a hyphen in New and York. And I checked with the Historical Society in New York. They dropped that hyphen in their name in November of 1892. So it had to be before that date. So the 1886 makes sense as a mayoral ribbon. Then I also have a trifold mailer that was actually mailed to somebody in New York City. And I believe the date of it is October 30th, 1886. And it invites you, it's all, you know, printed, not hand-printed, but, you know, printed on a printing press. Inside, you're invited to the movement to, you know, for Theodore Roosevelt, the Honorable Theodore Roosevelt as mayor of New York City, blah, blah, blah. It was basically inviting you to a campaign event. And it's like the size of a postcard, except it trifolds into that size. And so that's a pretty neat piece. I've got that framed with glass on both sides so you can see it was actually sent to somebody in New York. And then the last piece I have is a front page of the New York Times, October 30th, 1886. And I don't know if this was everywhere in the New York Times or just on certain editions, but printed in red letters down the margin on the very far right-hand side, it says something along the lines, I'm trying to remember the exact wording now, but urging you to cast your vote for Roosevelt and throw the rascals out. And it's in red letters down the edge of the newspaper. So they obviously paid the New York Times to on its front page to put down the side that wording. And then I have another friend who has a ribbon that's a different ribbon than mine for mayor. And that one actually says for mayor on it. So I'm a little jealous of him. But so that's the mayoral stuff. I got a little carried away there. Gubernatorial is really fascinating because the gubernatorial stuff is stuff that he's represented as a rough rider. Almost, I would say 95% of the gubernatorial buttons and items, paper, whatever, has him as a rough rider in his uniform. So that stuff is really fascinating. And then when he was running for vice president, he's on a ton of buttons and posters and everything with McKinley. But there's also some that are just, this is to tell you something about McKinley, how exciting he was. There's some buttons that are just for vice president. And they say, you know, and one of them is Theodore Roosevelt standing in full uniform, and it says for vice president, Theodore Roosevelt. And then 1904, you know, just a ton of stuff out there, hundreds of different buttons. Because cities would make up their own buttons, like a Republican Club of New York, or the Peoria, Illinois Republican Club, or Theodore Roosevelt Club of Schenectady, whatever. They would put out their own buttons and stuff. So we find new stuff all the time that we've never seen before that comes out of somebody's Pennsylvania attic, probably. And then you move on to 1912, and it gets really fascinating because of the whole Progressive Party incident. And there's stuff you could find that was before that, you know, before like primary things. And then you could find all the progressive stuff. And there was just all kinds of things put out, buttons and China, all kinds of things. So and then there's actually I think I have 6 or 7 different buttons from 1916, but a lot of folks wanted him to run in 1916. So there's you know, they're not common, but they're out there. And then finally, memorial items for his death. And I have skipped over things where he didn't run for office. You know, the opening of the Panama Canal. You know, there's a button, a great button, a map that shows the Panama Canal, and it says the door that Rosie Velt. V-E-L-D-T, Velt as in a swamp or a field, you know. And I've got a pair, it's funny, it fits into your mouth, and it looks like you've got a great big smile on your face. It's metal, and it just looks like Teddy's teeth. And at the bottom, in tiny letters, it says Teddy's teeth. And in the back, the part you hold with your teeth, it used to have a little piece of waxed cardboard in it, and you would hum like a kazoo, and you'd go down the street, and, you know, whether it's in a parade or whatever. And I always thought that that was probably from the 1904 campaign, but there's a book that is all about T.R. as police commissioner from, I think it was 1895 to 97. And in that, in one of the pages, it talks about kids outside of his office have these metal teeth in their mouth, and they're humming songs. Yeah. And so, you know, that really dates it to that period. So it's kind of neat to actually have something other than an autograph that's from his police commissioner days.
Yeah. Well, so kind of along those same lines, you know, the imagery that is evoked in some of these political items. I don't know if it was Conan O'Brien who called T.R. the original meme. You know, so with the
is he riding a bull moose in it?
Well, right. So, but you know, all it takes, you know, to evoke Theodore Roosevelt is just some pince-nez, a mustache, and some teeth, and people automatically know what you're talking about. So I was hoping that you'd bring up the teeth thing. Yeah. I saw that in the Smithsonian in amongst their political items there, and I thought that was one of the coolest pieces.
A great button that I got a few years ago from 1912, and it's basically just teeth and glasses and eyes, and it's just black and white, but around it it says, "If you were against me, you were a crook." So it's like you if you're against me, that means you've stolen the nomination from me, and you're a crook.
Yeah.
So, but it it's him just because of the teeth and the glasses.
Yeah.
Well, I'm curious, what's the Holy Grail? What's the rarest of TR's collectibles?
Oh, that is a tough one because new stuff turns up all the time. Probably one of the best ones is a pin that shows TR at the gate, and it's like a wooden gate, and Uncle Sam is standing there, and he can lift up each of the panels, and each of the panels says something on it. I can't remember the exact wording, but it's like prosperity and something else. Wow. And whatever, and one of them maybe equality or something like that. I'm sorry, I just don't remember the exact wording, but there's a lot of thought that it might be trying to bring the South and the North back together. That's what Uncle Sam is opening the gate, you know, because it's still a few years after the Civil War, you know, or within lifetimes of most people. And the thought is maybe it was supposed to be the Mason-Dixon line, you know, that's speculation, but there's some things to back it up. And that pin is, I think the last time I saw it auction was 16 to 20,000, I think. It's pretty scarce. But that would probably be the most valuable thing I could think of right offhand that isn't something he owned. I don't get into, you know, this was T.R.'s comb, and these are four pieces of hair that his barber saved in, you know, 1903. So I'm more into just stuff that represented him in his lifetime or at his death, you know, the memorial items.
Well, I know one piece you have, you sent a picture of it to us, and we'll post that on the website, is the photograph of Theodore Roosevelt with an autograph underneath of it.
Yeah. This will fall under the category of what's your favorite way to find something. And to be honest with you, I don't know how the woman got my name, but this would have been probably about 1990 or 91. And a woman, a very old woman, it was late 80s, I believe, contacted me, and she was living in Baltimore. And she said, I've got... you know, I would put my name out there in advertising, whatever, that I collect Theodore Roosevelt. And she had seen one of those ads or a card or something somewhere. And she contacted me and she said, you know, I'm getting up in age. I have had this item forever and it needs to go to a good home. And it sounds, after we talked for about half an hour, she said, you sound like the home that this should go to. Mm-hmm. And I made her an offer on it. It's a picture of Theodore Roosevelt, a real picture, but it's an odd picture. It's a profile picture of him, and on the matting right below it says, I can't tell you the exact wording, but something to L. William Hones and his wife, I believe it is, with hearty good wishes, and it says in parentheses, then including the teddy bear, in parentheses, Theodore Roosevelt, and it's signed full signature while he was president in 1907. And to the best of my knowledge, I have not been in. If somebody knows it, I hope they pass it along to you all. I've never seen him mention the teddy bear in his own handwriting anywhere. Mm. And it's the only thing I know of that has it. But the interesting part of the story to me is the woman had gotten it in 1948 at the Johns Hopkins University White Elephant Sale. They would have a White Elephant Sale each year to basically raise money. And I guess she worked for the committee, and she saw it come in, and she just fell in love with it. And yeah, her husband bought it for her at the auction. And I have no idea what he paid. Back then, he probably got it for a song. But anyway, it was something that she cherished. And I've now been the caretaker of it for, I think it's been 33 years. And don't know where it ends up someday. But I think it's very historical because, you know, I think the whole teddy bear thing kind of embarrassed him a little bit, to mm-hmm. be honest with you. He couldn't figure out what use his name would be for a toy bear. And we still have them to this day.
You know, I don't know if that falls into this category, but of all of the items in your collection, do you have a couple that you would point to as favorite children in your collection?
That's difficult always because I look at one thing and I think, oh, this is my favorite. And then I look at, you know, I just have to look around the wall in my room, what might be my favorite. But besides the photograph I just mentioned, and the reason I mentioned that so prominently, because it is one of my probably top five. Yeah. But I just acquired a chalkware piece this week, and that gives me six different ones now. But my favorite ones, these are actually made out of like a chalk-like material, so they're very easily chipped. And this one is about 12 inches long, and I would guess maybe 8 inches high. And it's TR wearing his Rough Rider hat, and he is riding on a bull moose. And he is holding a big stick in his hand, and he is clubbing an elephant and a donkey, which he is running over top of on the moose. And this is all carved or somehow made out of, I don't know, it's probably molded out of chalk, basically. But the best part of it is at the very bottom, this is obviously a 1912 piece because of the moose, you know, running over the Republican and the Democratic symbols. But at the bottom, it's got his quote, which was his last line at the Progressive Convention speech accepting the nomination. We stand at Armageddon and we battle for the Lord. And then on the back of it is carved into it, into the chalkware. It's from the 1912, I think it's the New York State Progressive Party and the name of the secretary of the party, etc. So, but that piece has just been special forever. A friend found it probably 95, around that time, at a political collectibles show in Austin, Texas. And another friend told me about it, and I called the guy. He said, oh, yeah, I don't want to give it up, you know. And I said, okay. 3 months later, he wanted to give it up. So whether he had bills to pay or whatever became of it, I don't know why, but I have cherished it ever since. And those are two of my favorite pieces. And I say this knowing that I have 1,000 different Teddy Roosevelt pinback buttons and ribbons, and yet two of my favorite pieces are not buttons or ribbons.
Well, that's funny that one item rolls in so much of the imagery associated with TR.
Yeah, it's got everything, the big stick, the moose, the donkey, the quote. It's just really special. I know of at least one other one, maybe two other ones. There are probably some out there, but they're very brittle. I mean, chalkware is stuff that just breaks so easily. I mean, just tap it down on the table too hard and it can crack.
I know at one point they would give those away as prizes from carnivals and festivals.
Yes. I've got one that's got TR in a safari hat, and it just says TR in Africa on the bottom. And then another one is just a close-up of TR's face with this ghastly, you know, teeth looking at you. You know, 90% of the face seems to be teeth, and it just says Teddy at the bottom, you know, like you needed that.
Well, we know from your biography, Tom, that you're associated with this organization called the American Political Items Collectors, so as a nonprofit organization that's focused on political collectibles with various conferences. Could you tell our listeners a little bit more about that organization and your role in that?
I would be happy to. I would say if you want to collect political items seriously, you have to belong to the American Political Items Collector. For $42 a year, You get a monthly newspaper. It's usually, I think, 24, 28 pages. And then I'll plug the Keynoter magazine. Full Color magazine comes out quarterly, and I happen to be editor of that. But that is also included in that, and that's usually either 32 or 36 pages. And it's all about campaigns and collectibles, more about the collectibles related to the campaign, but also what's the history behind that campaign button that may have, you know, it may say Freeport, Illinois, October 26, 1904, and then you can go on newspapers.com or somewhere and look up and read about the what actually happened that day. So somebody wearing that button that day was there. And that's the kind of information you get through APIC. I will say that the website is up to date, but it's outdated in a sense. Any day now, the new website will be going up, and it'll have amazing. It's got our Keynoter magazine on there way back, dozens of years, that you'll be able to search. But again, you will need to be a member to get behind that paywall to see it, but there's other information that's not behind the paywall. So APIC.us is, it may be the only .us website I know of, but it's easy for those of us in the organization to remember, and I would advise people to go on there and take a look around. Besides that, APIC holds political collectible shows around the country. I run one in South Florida, even though I don't live there anymore. I'm still running it down there once a year, and it was just a couple weeks ago. And I went before that, I went to one in New Jersey. There was one in Austin, Texas last month. So they're all over the country, from California to New England down to Florida. And those shows are all sponsored by the American Political Items Collectors. And then every other year, on the election year, so that would be this year, we have a national convention. And this one is going, our last one was in Reno, Nevada, and before that was Nashville, Tennessee. Our one coming up this year is going to be in Seven Springs, Pennsylvania, Seven Springs Ski Resort. Not a lot of skiing going on in August, so that's a good time for us to meet there. And it's going to show, you know, it'll have, we're guessing, 250 to 300 tables of political items for sale or trade. And wow. it'll have people from practically every state in the nation. And that show not only will have all these items for sale for 3 days, but there's seminars on everything from how to tell a fake button from a real one to estate planning for your, what are you going to do with your collection when you get to that age where something needs to be done with your collection.
Like how much could we get for this collection in scrap metal?
Cost? Yes, yes. Yeah, we all have fear that when something happens to us, it goes in a dumpster. So I make sure my wife knows the value of items. There's just all kinds of other events. There's display rooms where some of the members will bring their very best items and just have them for display. Those conventions, anytime you can go to a political collectible show in your area, it's amazing. I've said, I go to some people's houses and look at their collections, and there's a couple in particular. If I had a choice of going to the Smithsonian or going to their house, I'd go to their house every time. It's just, they just have so much stuff and so much good early items that, you know, you don't get to see even at the Smithsonian, because a lot of it's in storage. Yeah, I'm not bad-mouthing the Smithsonian. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy it every time I go there. There was one more thing I wanted to mention. We were talking about the APIC site. There's a Facebook page that I run. It's called Theodore Roosevelt Chapter of the American Political Items Collectors. If you just go on, if you're on Facebook, just go on there and put in Theodore Roosevelt Chapter American Political Items Collectors. And it's basically just a place for all Theodore Roosevelt collectors to get together. And we'll post stuff on there all the time, photos of, you know, has anybody ever seen this button before, this flag before, mm-hmm. or whatever? And you can just scroll down, and I think there's actually a tab up at the top. You can click on just images and just look at the variety of things that are out there that sometimes people just like to post stuff from their collection, say, hey, look at this neat item I found, or whatever. And I would highly recommend, you know, there's no cost to that. Just go on and join that Facebook page. I'll be happy to let you through. And And then you can just look at the items that are in there. We keep one thing we do, especially as an APIC thing, is we don't get into politics. I know that sounds weird, but we even on all the Facebook pages for APIC and others, we discourage any political talk, especially current era. Now, you may talk about, you know, Clay versus Jackson or somebody in the 1800s that really doesn't make much difference today, but we don't get into Trump versus Biden or anything like that, because that just leads to hard feelings. And first of all, we're collectors and we're historians. We're saving this history, you know, that might be thrown in the dump. People, of course, have their own political views, but we keep that to ourselves.
So, besides the APIC, if someone wanted to start collecting Theodore Roosevelt items, what advice would you give them?
Oh, gosh. I would probably tell them don't, because you're just going to be a competition for me. But, you know, I've heard that Nixon stuff is really popular and a lot cheaper. So, now, you know, probably... attend antique shows, you know, and don't wait till the last day of the show. Get there early, because the political stuff is hard to find and it gets scooped up quickly. But go to antique shows, go to flea markets. Flea markets are wonderful, especially if you live in the Midwest or Northeast. It's just a lot of old stuff comes out of those attics, like my grandfather's. Get yourself a little business card printed. They aren't that expensive, that just says wanted or I collect, and then a picture of a couple of campaign buttons. And you might want to specialize, or might want to just say, I collect political campaign items, you know, and your email and your phone number on it. The most important thing is get your name out there. You know, there's other Theodore Roosevelt collectors, but I've reached that age where I've been doing it so long now, and some of the ones that were more well-known than me have passed along, that I'm kind of the TR guy. Now, there are others out there, don't get me wrong, and they're glaring at me right now, I'm sure, when they hear this. But, you know, if you pass out enough cards to people and bug enough people and keep telling them what you collect, they'll remember you. And, you know, I'm embarrassed to say I still have an AOL email address, and the reason is because every antique picker in the country, I think, has my email address, and heaven forbid I should go to Gmail and they can't find me anymore, you know, so I keep that same trbuttons at AOL.com email address, and I'm embarrassed, and my son cringes every time he sees me giving that out, but whatever, it works for me. So, you know, it just it's not, you can't just say, oh, I collect political and then hope it falls into your lap. There's a lot of collectors of it out there who are serious and will scoop up the stuff as soon as they can find it. So I just, you know, just keep looking. And if you join APIC, there's all kinds of information there about the fakes. We call them brummagem. There's some that are actual reproductions of old buttons that look the same, but you'll learn through APIC what's the difference in the construction. Basically, we say turn the button over. You know, look at the back. That's a telltale sign of the age of the button, is what's on the back. And you'll learn certain kinds of buttons were made in certain time periods. You know, my first button I bought was at a flea market, and it was Wilson and Marshall from 1916, and I was so excited about it. And later in the week, I turned it over in tiny, tiny letters. It said Kleenex tissues on the back, curl. And I realized that I was out $16, and as a 16 or 17-year-old back then, that was a lot of money. And so I learned my lesson, but you can learn that lesson through APIC and not having to make that costly mistake as a youngster.
Well, I think probably a lot of folks may get into political collecting who are interested in history. And, I mean, it's kind of a subset of antique collecting. It's that tangible piece of history, right?
Yeah, you'd be surprised how many of our members are either teachers or lawyers, because the law and politics kind of goes together. A lot of teachers, though, and a lot of them use the items in their classrooms. You know, Larry, you may have even done that, and I know a couple of friends of mine in Pennsylvania and elsewhere. They love to take items in, and you know, there's something about sitting in a history class, and you know, people say, oh, all you do is memorize dates. As I tell my wife when we're watching Jeopardy, the date is the clue to the answer, you know, all the time. It's like, okay, what could have happened in 1884, you know, or what could have happened in 1931? But at the same time, you learn about the events through the, to me, you learn about it by looking at the items. It was always interesting to me in history books to see old pictures of campaigns and things like that. And, you know, I could sit and, it's funny, there's some buttons for Teddy Roosevelt, that same button that you'll see 10 of them in different collections, and they all have what we call foxing around the edge, which is a little darkening because water has seeped through from the backside. And you go on newspapers.com or somewhere and find out, you know, where that button was that day and look at the weather report. It rained that day, you know. Yeah. And it's you can imagine people standing there in their raincoats wearing these buttons listening to Theodore Roosevelt speak. You know, there's something about holding that in your hand. That's why I'm only interested in things from his era, you know. After the memorial 1919-1920, I really don't have any interest in it, because it's just, I like the things that I know that he might have been there for it, or at least they were representing him at the time, yeah. Not representing something that happened in the past.
It's that tangible material culture that you can own that little piece of that right. Political past. And yeah, it is fun and interesting to think about that original holder of that item. And I think you'd mentioned the keynoter provides some background and context to to the collections.
Another thing that makes it interesting, sometimes you'll get a campaign button and it'll be attached to a piece of paper and it's got, you know, grandma whoever's name on it, you know, and it says, you know, I wore this at the campaign for Theodore Roosevelt in Norristown, Pennsylvania in 1903 or 1904 or whatever. And that's even better, you know. Yeah. But it just kind of, I get a little excited here. It brings history alive when you see items mm-hmm. that were there. And that's why I think I wish more teachers collect at least a few things, because there's a lot of stuff out there. You know, you could buy a Theodore Roosevelt button for $10, $15 still, or spend thousands. But, you know, to have something representative of him for your classroom, it doesn't cost you much more than a couple of packages of wipes or something that you'd use in a classroom, or crayons or whatever.
From an historian's point of view, I think Larry and I have both experienced that in the classroom, how physical items, material culture allows students to make those connections. And you bring in one button that says 16-1. And, right. you know, without any context, just throw that out there and use that as a conversation starter with students about this is from a political campaign. What in the world do you suppose this means? And it's a great inroad, right? It gets you into one of the key issues of campaigns from the late 1800s, right? And the gold standard versus silver.
Funny you mentioned that. You can hear the chuckle in my voice. I have a railroad clock hanging on the wall in my dining room, which we just finally got put up. It was my grandfather's, the one I didn't ever get to meet, because, of course, he collected everything. But he worked for the Pennsylvania Railroad, so it's an old railroad clock that we just hung up in the living room, or in the dining room, and it's not working right now because I don't have a key for it. I got to find the right key to wind it. It's one of those, I think, what they call them, 8-day clocks or something. Yeah. And I set the time at 16-1. And, you may not want to spill the beans, but you can Google 16-1 and 1896, and you'll find lots of information about what 16-1 means. And but that's what the clock is set at right now in my dining room.
I love that. Well, I was thinking that when we talk about the imagery of a button, I've been reading a couple of books on Theodore Roosevelt's relationship with Booker T. Washington, you know, guest of honor, and then there's another recent book on this. And in doing a couple of searches online, come across the button from 1902. There's that image of Theodore Roosevelt sitting at the dinner table with Booker T. Washington with one word underneath the table. And what is that word?
Equality.
Equality.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, this was not set up, but you did me a favor here. The next Keynoter magazine that is going to press April 1st, or be mailed April 1st from the APIC, is all about the equality button. The cover story is about that. We do multiple things, but there were actually, I think it was altogether maybe seven or eight different equality buttons. Sometimes the images were different. And the thought was that some of them were pro and some of them were anti. The one comes from the Chicago area, the original one. But then there's one that shows T.R. and Booker T. Washington sitting at a table. And Booker T. Washington is much more prominent in it. And the water decanter has been replaced by a liquor bottle in the photo. And Booker T. Washington has his arms slung over the back of the chair as if he's very casual with the president. And there was thoughts that that may have been come out of Tennessee or somewhere in the South and was an anti-TR button. Wow. But our research through old newspapers from the guy who wrote the story has found basically that these were made in different parts of the country, and they were actually worn more as anti-buttons in certain areas. Mm-hmm. The black population would wear them as a proud moment. You know, here's Booker T. Washington having dinner at the White House. And then in other areas, the Democrats would wear them and say, okay, look at, you know, this is what you're going to get if, you know, we have equality. And then, you know, they were originally made to be a proud moment for the president, but there weren't a lot of Republicans wearing them at the time because it became a kind of a derogatory thing. So it just depends on who was wearing them and what the button meant. And that's basically what our story in the keynoter is going to say. So if you pay that $42 quickly, you can get on that mailing list.
Okay, our listeners are going to assume that was a setup question, but I assure you that was pure
it was
providence.
It was not. It
So one thing you mentioned with that was the political context of that button. When you study different campaigns, not just Theodore Roosevelt, is there a way to study history and just looking at the memorabilia for different campaigns?
Absolutely. You know, Kurt mentioned the 16-1. I will spoil it here. That was the 1896 and a little bit 1900 too. The issue between the Republicans and the Democrats, boy, you think issues are boring today. It was whether the money should be based on gold, one part, you know, basically gold, or 16 equal value would be 16 parts silver. And bimetallism, they called that. And, you know, it's just, you see 16-1. I see 16-1 on anything for whatever reason. I think of that campaign. You know, Adlai Stevenson in the 50s was running for president against Ike, and he was on a platform and he crossed his legs and people could see a hole in the bottom of his shoe where it was worn through. And Ike made a big deal about it on campaign buttons and posters that said, you know, if you want to end up like this, vote for Stevenson. And then Stevenson turned it around and said, this is how hard I work. I'm always on my feet, basically, you know. So, you know, you see a shoe with a hole in it and you know it's either an Ike or a Stevenson button. And there's all kinds of things like that, you know, a chicken in every pot. There's all kinds of campaign slogans that don't swap horses, you know, that kind of thing. You see no third term, you know it's a Wilkie button from 1940 against FDR. Those campaign slogans are always out there. You know, Clinton, it's the economy, stupid. You know, those slogans end up on campaign buttons and posters and all kinds of things. So there are people who just collect slogans like that. They don't collect a particular candidate. Yeah. You know, some people are just general collectors. They collect everything. And some will just, I've got one guy I know just collects golf-related things to presidents because Taft was a golfer, you know, and Ike was a golfer. And there's a guy who just collects train things related to campaigns, you know, tickets to ride the FDR train west or whatever. So there's so many ways to narrow your collection to particular things once you really get into it. My goal right now and for the past few years is try to get one item from every significant event in his life, you know, that there are items for. You know, I mentioned the one thing from the Panama Canal. I'm still looking for that assembly piece. But, you know, when you think about it, I've got a button and a ticket to the event or an invitation to the event in Argentina where he spoke on his River of Doubt trip. Wow. He actually spoke at a museum down there. And there's a button I have, the only one I know of, and it's actually got back paper in it. It says it was made in, the company has two places in Peru and in Argentina where they make buttons, and it's in Spanish. It just says, "Welcome Roosevelt" on it with his picture. That represents the River of Doubt trip, you know. Yeah. And I try to find something, even like 1916 when he didn't run, there's some buttons for that. So that's kind of my goal, is just to find something for every major event in his life that items were made for. Yeah. If you have the collecting gene, the variety in political collecting is unsurpassed. I collected glass telephone insulators. I'm embarrassed to say this, but I collected matchbooks. I collected Indian head pennies. You name it. I had that gene that my grandfather apparently sent down to me. And my wife would tell you that other than marrying me, and I'm not so sure about the marrying me, but the marrying me and having two sons being born, the happiest day of her life was when the gentleman backed his pickup truck up to our garage in Florida many years ago and loaded all 400 of those glass telephone insulators onto them, and I actually got money for them. So, you know, if you have that collecting gene, you just like collecting. You know, we always say if you have one, you have an item. If you have two, you have a collection. So political stuff is just such a variety, and it really gets into the history. And, you know, join APIC. APIC.us, the website, it's just a remarkable organization where you'll find collectors. They get together on Facebook and buy and sell too. And it's you go to a show. It's funny, you could collect your entire life and collect political, and in one show on the first four tables, you'll see more items than you will at every flea market you've ever been to your whole life that are political items. If you know, the APIC.us site has a list of when shows are around the country, too, because they're all over the place.
You mentioned the collecting gene. I know I have that, and much to Julia's chagrin, my wife. And one thing
I've seen that look on her face, Larry.
You have. But, yeah, she tries to limit me from breakable items.
Yes.
Well, Tom, we sure appreciate you coming on and giving us and our listeners an education on what goes into collecting Theodore Roosevelt political items.
This has been great. We really appreciate you doing this, Tom.
Good. Well, I appreciate you both having me, and I hope I didn't bore too many people.
No.
I get into minutiae sometimes on this, and I get a little excited about it because I love the history, and that's what I like about the political collecting, is you can use your imagination, and you're there, you know, when you see somebody's collection.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this great conversation with one of the nation's leading TR political item collectors, Mr. Tom Peeling. If you'd like to learn more about the TR chapter of the American Political Items Collectors, and if you'd like to see some examples of some of the interesting items that we talked about during this episode, please go to our website, talkaboutteddy.com, and look at the show notes under Episode 7, Collecting TR. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks for listening.
You can find this podcast on our website, talkaboutteddy.com, where you can see show notes and transcripts, links to resources, and additional TR content. And please, tell us what you think.
If you've enjoyed our content, please consider subscribing and reviewing the podcast wherever you listen, and tell your friends and family about us, because it really does make a tremendous difference, and it helps others find this show.
We hope you'll join us for the next episode of Talk About Teddy. And until then, as our friend Colonel Roosevelt would say,
do what you can with what you have, where you are.
Bullet.